and welcome to the North Decatur Presbyterian Church Sermon Series. We're a PCUSA congregation in Decatur, Georgia. If you'd like to find out more about us, go to ndpc.org or just come by and visit. Here's this week's sermon.
Where are you from? If you want to know something about somebody, ask them, where are you from? The answer reveals something deep about us. We are formed and shaped by the places that we come from. So turn to your neighbor very briefly and ask them this morning, where are you from and what does that say about you? Take a minute, turn to your neighbor, find someone around you, be brave, be bold. Say, neighbor, where are you from? And what does that say about who you are? It's just the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? Just the tip of the iceberg to know where someone is from. All right, my turn. Truth. Truth comes out when we talk about the places that we are from. We love knowing where people are from. It's why we have all these superhero origin stories, right? We want to know who was Steve Rogers before he became Captain America. Who was Peter Parker before he got bitten by the radioactive spider? Because if you know where someone is from, you know how they're going to use their powers once they get them. So where's God from? Where's God from? What's God's origin story? If you knew it, what would that story tell you about our God? Two scriptures this morning tell us a bit about where God is from. Listen closely and see if you can hear. This is from Judges chapter 5. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song. When you, Lord, went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water, the mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. Second passage, Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 1. Where is God from? Listen. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. The Lord shone forth from Mount Paran. The Lord came with myriads of holy ones from the south, from the Lord's mountain slopes. Surely it is you who love the people." That's the word of God for us, the people of God. Together we say, thanks be to God. So where is God from? If you ask anybody this question, you're bound to get lots of different kinds of answers, but somebody is bound to say God is from heaven. Now that's only marginally right. Now, some passages in the scriptures do say that God is in heaven, but heaven in the Bible is a notoriously squishy concept, right? Squishy is a technical term that biblical scholars often use. It means, right, that the Bible is very unclear about heaven itself, what it is and where it is. Heaven is where God's will and God's way are always done, But it's less of a place than it is a time. It's a future time, heaven is, when joy and justice and peace will reign. And one of the shocking things that Jesus taught was he kept insisting that heaven is here, right? He kept saying heaven has broken into this world, to our reality. God doesn't stay in heaven. God is always bringing heaven to us. So however it is that you think about heaven, and I hope you will, by the way, it's not quite right to answer that God is from heaven. Now, another answer that people will certainly give is that God is from everywhere. God's in all places, and God is in all time. Psalm 39, you probably could recite it yourself. God, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand holds me fast. So if you answer this question and say that God is everywhere and always present, no matter where I am, I will not argue with you one bit. But you still haven't answered the question where God is from. God is everywhere, but God is not from everywhere. God is from somewhere. And the beautiful thing is that now we are beginning to have an answer to this question, where is God from? What did the scriptures say this morning? Where is God from? Did you hear the word Seir, a place name? S-E-I-R. God is from Seir. All right, so this is your sort of map of the general region. And you see that area that's circled in red there on the right-hand side, below the Dead Sea there? That's Seir. That's where God is from. All right. You didn't know Seir. You didn't learn about Seir growing up in school. Seir goes by the name Edom. Sometimes you'll hear it referenced as Edom. So let's just look at a picture of this beautiful garden spot, this idyllic, scenic place that our God is from. Oh. Well, that is a picture of the wilderness of Seir. The text also says that God comes from Mount Paran. Okay, well, maybe that mountain is a kind of a wilderness oasis, flourishing with dates and palm trees and pools of water. Let's see Mount Paran. Yikes. This is Jebel Rum in what we now call Jordan. So that's where our God is from. Well, how do we know? I was talking with Brennan Breed, who's an Old Testament professor at Columbia. He taught a class not too long ago called The Origins of Yahweh. And so my ears perked up and I said, what do you mean the origins of Yahweh? And he said, oh yeah, we're discovering all this stuff right now in the last couple of years about where the worship of Yahweh comes from. And we're pretty positive, he said, that this place is where Yahweh comes from. This barren, inhospitable, we might even say God-forsaken place. This is God's home. Now, for hundreds of years, biblical scholars have noticed a couple of passages in the scriptures that say that Yahweh comes from the regions in the south, south of Israel, south of Judah, in the desert. We read two of these passages this morning. The first one from Judges is called the Song of Deborah. Deborah, by the way, awesome, the only woman judge over Israel, right? She sings this victory hymn. It's thought to be one of the oldest pieces of literature in the Hebrew scriptures. And in that song that Deborah sings, Yahweh is portrayed as this warrior God who approaches from the south. And there are earthquakes and storms. Deborah sings, "When you, Lord, went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water," which must have been a relief or also threatening in this place. "The mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel." Edom and Seir are in the southern wilderness areas. Another old text, the blessing of Moses from Deuteronomy 33, uses very similar imagery. You probably heard it. It connects Israel's God to this particular land. "The Lord," this text says, "came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. The Lord shone forth from Mount Paran." Now, scholars who disagree on everything, it seems, they disagree on exactly where Mount Sinai and Mount Paran might have been, but they all agree that both were in this barren southern desert. And it could be that Mount Paran was the image that you saw of Jebel Rum. Okay, it's not only biblical texts that say that Yahweh is from a deserted place. Archaeologists have found the earliest written evidence of the name Yahweh. It's written on a pair of Egyptian temples in what we now call Sudan, and they date back to 1300 BCE, give or take, and the inscriptions on these temples list the lands of a people known as the Shasu. Shasu is the Egyptian name for the nomadic people that lived east of the Sinai. And so on this list of lands is Shasu, land of Yahweh. What this inscription tells you is that by 1300 BCE, Yahweh was linked to the region of Seir and to these nomadic people known as the Shasu. Yahweh, God, comes from the desert, from the wilderness. Where is your God from? God is from the desert. And so what does that say about God? One of the things that I think is most beautiful about Yahweh's origin story is that a God who comes from this kind of place is by definition an outsider God, right? 3,500 years ago on the earth, there were other kinds of human cultures that had built complex civilizations already. They had sophisticated architecture and engineering, cultures that had elaborate political structures and religious rituals and significant and magnificent sacred sites. Yahweh didn't show up in any of those places, right? Yahweh's home, Yahweh's original temple is this land. Our God is connected to the land itself, and not just any land, right? You know, Yahweh didn't pick out the most beautiful, well, it is beautiful in a way, but not the most idyllic spot on earth to take up residence. Our God comes from the most rugged and one of the more isolated corners of this big and beautiful world. So it makes me wonder about the character of a God who comes from a place like this. How many of you feel more connected to God the farther from civilization you go? Anyone? A few of you. Why is this true? Why do we feel so connected to God in wilderness places? Well, when we're out in the wild, we feel small again. The enormity of this world kind of envelops us. I think that in the wilderness, we become right-sized again. In the wilderness, we know that we're not these big, powerful, magnificent, world-changing creatures. We're a speck of dust in a place like this. And it makes us wonder, it makes our minds and our imaginations come alive about the one who made an earth that is so vast and complicated and made us so small and yet part of this greater whole. When you hang out in a place like this, you accept your own vulnerability. Most of the time, we try to walk around in the world as though anything that comes in our way is an inconvenience. Anything that wants to harm us is an affront to our right to exist. But in the wilderness, our egotism gets stripped away. You're vulnerable. One false step in a place like this and you're done. If a storm rises up and you're not prepared, that's it. Nothing in the wilderness is guaranteed for you. And here's what I know you know already, but we all need to be reminded of today. Your vulnerability, that feeling of being vulnerable, is essential to your relationship with God. Because when you're vulnerable, you look around for help. The psalmist says, "Where does my help come from?" That's a question you ask when you're vulnerable. It's a wilderness question. The last reason that I think God is so powerfully present in the wilderness is that when you're in a place like this, God can remain wild and hidden. We human beings want to domesticate everything. Everything we touch, we want to control it. We want to have everything around us do just what we want, when we want it. But a God who comes from this place, from the wilderness, is never yours to control or subdue. Yes, you can pursue this God. Yes, you can seek out this God. You can seek a relationship with this God, but to do so, you might have to go to the wilderness yourself. You may have to leave the comfort of what you know, the peace of what you can control. You might have to go to the place where God is. Which says to me that our life in God, our life in this tradition, is not a life fundamentally of safety and security. It's not a life of order and constant predictability, not when we worship a God who comes from a place like this. Maybe the real marvel of Yahweh's origin story is that our God first revealed herself to a group of shasu, right? To people who were, by all external definitions, outsiders. They were nomadic women and men. God first loved people who lived day to day in the vulnerability of that place. The God who comes from that place knows the precarity of our existence. God knows our vulnerability firsthand. And because this God knows how precarious life can be, I think this God is also ready. Ready to spring into action when we call for help. That's what the Bible teaches. Remember the third chapter of Exodus? Moses, this great leader, is tending the sheep of his father-in-law. His father-in-law's name is Jethro, and we learn he is a priest of Midian. You want to guess where Midian is? It's out beyond Seir. While Moses is with the sheep, he leads them, the Bible says, to the far side of the wilderness. It's there that he sees the bush on fire. It's there he hears a voice that says, "Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground." And the voice then says, "I hear the cries of my people in the wilderness of their slavery and their suffering, and I am coming to rescue them. Moses has to go into the wilderness to find God. But the God whom he finds, the God who is formed in the precarity of the wilderness, is ready to come and save us whenever we are lost and afraid. Where you come from makes you who you are. So where is God from? The Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. The Lord shone forth from Mount Paran and came from the south, from those mountain slopes. God's love for you is formed in the wilderness. Let the wilderness people say, Amen.